Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 1. In verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, that means engaged, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." By the way, that's blessed are you among women, not above women. Some people want to interpret that as though she was unique and above women. No, he said, "Blessed are you among women. Your position is among women. You are a woman. Everything about you is that like any other woman, but God chose to bless you." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Notice her response. He says, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you as a woman." That's really what among women means, as a woman. Blessed are you as a woman. Now, if somebody came up to you and said that, you would kind of wonder to yourself, what is he talking about? And that's exactly what she was thinking. What is this angel of all people, an angel? It's not like it's Harry on the corner there. It's an angel. And he comes and he says this to her, and she's troubled by this. In other words, she's puzzled by it. And she's thinking to herself, what sort of a greeting is this? Then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now Mary was 16 years old when this took place. She was already engaged to be married at 16. In those days that was not that uncommon. But in those days, if you were 40 years old, you were very old. And so people did not live nearly as long as they live today. She was 16, she was going to be getting married, she was engaged, and she hears this from this angel. And the angel says to her, "You're a blessed woman because God, by His grace, has chosen you to do something that is very unique and very special, and this is troubling to her. This is puzzling. What do you mean? What do you mean? What are you talking about? What do you mean?" Now, imagine this. She's not married. She's a proper young lady. She doesn't get involved in relationships she should not be involved in. She's a godly young lady. She is a lady. And she hears this. That she's going to have a son before she even is married. And it's not going to be because of anything improper. It will be because she's blessed by God. That's it. This is a strange saying. Normally, if people heard this, they would be probably fairly concerned. They would be afraid. And indeed, there was reason to be concerned because of the standards of the day. I'm not going to get into that now. That's not our purpose. But she had good reason to be concerned. Having a child without being married was not accepted at all in those days. That was dangerous. You could actually be put to death for that. Now, Joseph was a proper kind of a guy. He was a godly man. He was disturbed when he found out his fiance was going to have a child without being married to him first. He wanted to put her away, which was the equivalent of divorce. He wasn't married yet, so it wasn't a divorce. It was just breaking up with her. And the angel said to him, don't worry about it, Joseph. This is from God. She did nothing wrong. There's nothing going on here that she's not cheating on you. She's not unfaithful. She's a good lady. She's proper in all her ways. And she is just plain old a lady. And even though this is very strange for you, don't be afraid of it. This is coming from God. How available would the average person be, perhaps nowadays, or for that matter, even back then, for something like that to happen? Mary was not unique as an individual, but she did have a characteristic that God really liked. She had a heart after God that made her available to God. A person with a heart after God, what does that even mean? I have a heart after God. Does it mean I have a desire for Him? Well, yeah, you often do have a desire for Him. But what does it mean, really, to have a heart after God? Because not everybody has a heart after God who is a Christian, and some do, but some don't. So what does it mean that I have a heart after God? What it means is that you're available to God. Young people, learn how to be available to God. Most people are available to their own old sin nature. I want to do this. This will be fun. I want to do that. Ooh, it's exciting. I want this. Well, what does God think? I don't know. I don't really care what God thinks. I want it. There was a politician who I seriously disagree with in almost every aspect. I'm not going to get into who, but he said Congress is not interested in the will of God. The one honest thing he actually said. Congress is not interested in the will of God. This is a problem. Why does our country have the problems that it has? Well, a part of that is because people aren't interested, including Congress, in the will of God. They're not available to God. Always stay available to God. That doesn't mean that you're going to lose. Sometimes people think, well, if I'm available to God, I'm going to lose out. But Matthew chapter 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So by being available to God, you're not going to lose anything. You're going to gain everything. You're going to find your spouse by being available to God. You're going to find your education by being available to God. You're going to find your job by being available to God. You're going to find your family by being available to God. Everything that people normally desire and God normally gives to them, unless there's a sovereign, in other words, God has a specific reason in His perfect will to not do it, which is very unusual. But for most people, that's His will, and He's going to give it to them as they are available to God. When the Word of God says in Proverbs 3:5, acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll direct your path. Don't lean on your own understanding. When Solomon is saying that, what he's really saying is be available to God. Mary could receive a miracle that was like no other miracle ever done by being available to God. This is going to be true for your lives. The remarkable things that you're going to see from God in your life are going to be because you're available to God. If you are available to God, there is no end to what God will do for you. But He does need you to be available to Him. Mary didn't say, nope, not going to do it. That's weird. I don't see how you're going to do that. All these things that people would say nowadays, nah, why don't you find yourself another girl? All these things that people would say nowadays, Mary didn't say any of them. Why? Because she was available to God. She was, God, here I am. Whatever your will is fine with me. Knowing that in His perfect will, she would be blessed. And in His perfect will, she was blessed. Mary wasn't unique, but Mary was uniquely blessed. And that blessing is still her possession. She's been in heaven for almost 2,000 years, but that blessing is still exclusively her possession. Why? Because she was available. Learn to be available to God. Don't ever be afraid to be available to God. Whatever you do, wherever you go, God is going to go before you. He's going to do it for you. He's not going to leave you hanging on your own. If He asks you to do something, He's doing it for you. He's basically saying, hey, why don't you come on a ride with me? And then He's the one who does everything that needs to be done. You're along for the ride. Yes, you respond to Him. Yes, He may have you help Him do something maybe as His body. Yes, He might use your voice box or something like that. But really, you're just there for the ride. You get to see God do some pretty amazing things. When Jesus, for example, raised the little girl from the dead, He took James, John, and Peter with Him. They were available. And because they were available, they saw Jesus Himself in person do things that are forever recorded in the Word of God. And they're not just like going out and getting a burger. He raised a little girl from the dead. You don't see that every day. But because they were available to God, that happened. In Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Now, Isaiah had something interesting going on here. He heard the voice of God. He did not hear the voice of God because he was some super Christian. He did not hear the voice of God because he was sinless. He did not hear the voice of God because he was something more than an ordinary human. He heard the voice of God because he was available to hear. He didn't try to hear the voice of God. He was simply available should God happen to speak. And God spoke and he heard. This is how we hear the voice of God. We don't try to hear. Sometimes we ask God, show me or tell me or what have you. And then we try to listen for the answer. Whatever you hear, it's going to be the first thought that pops into your head. But it's not the voice of God. That's not how it works. Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. But he didn't say, my sheep will hear my voice every time they say something. He said, my sheep will know my voice. In being available to God, you'll be available to have God speak to you. If you're trying to have God speak to you, you're saying, God, you be available to me. And although God is very accessible to you, although God welcomes you at all times, although God wants to hear from you, His availability is to His plan, and as part of that plan, He's very available to love you, available to lead you, available to take care of you, but He's not available to have you become the boss. We stay available to Him. And when we're available to Him, that's when we start hearing from Him. That's where we start being used by Him. That's where we start seeing things from God happening in our lives. Isaiah was available and he heard the voice of God. And God said, who's going to go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. What didn't Isaiah say? Because he did say, here am I, send me. What didn't he say that most people would say? If I said to you, who's going to go for us? And you're thinking about it, what's the first thing you're going to ask?
Where am I going?
Where am I going? How am I going to get there? When should I go? Who's going to pay for this? What do I need? Exactly. What am I doing? What is it going to be over there? Now tell me the details. He didn't ask those things at all. He simply said, here I am, send me. You see, in those questions, while on the one hand they're sort of understandable because people try to figure out how things are going to work, it also means they're not available only under their own conditions are they available. Well, if I have enough money to go, if you supply me with enough, then I'll go. If I understand how to do it, then I'll go. If I'm not real challenged in it, then I'll go. If I have all the information that I need to be satisfied with this, then I'll go. Isaiah didn't say that. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Don't you want to know where, Isaiah? No. I'm just available. God, I'm available. Here I am, send me. Before he even knew where, when, how, any of the details, he said, God, I'm available. Mary was available. That's why she was chosen. Mary was available. How many people do you think would not totally freak out if they were told what Mary was told? But she was available. That's what was special about her. She was available. A lot of people know how to be available to God. Learn to be one of them. Be available to God. Now that does take a little bit of getting used to. It's not something that we come into the picture with where we know how to be available instantly. In 1 Samuel 3:9, Samuel heard the voice of God. Now Samuel was being raised by the prophet because of a promise that his mother had made to God, that if God gave her a son, and she had no children at all at the time, if he gave her a son, she would dedicate him to God. And Samuel, in part of that, was being raised by the prophet Eli. And Samuel heard the voice of God, but he didn't know what he was hearing yet. He didn't know what to do with it. He was just a little kid at the time. He was 8 years old. And Samuel heard the voice of God, and he didn't know. And he thought it was Eli that was calling him. So he wakes up Eli and says, yeah, what did you want? And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So Samuel goes back to bed. He hears the voice of God, goes back to Eli. Eli, you called me. What did you want? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Eli was not really the sharpest blade in the drawer. It took him a little while to figure it out, even though he was the prophet. Oh, must be God calling you, Samuel. And it says, therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. I'm going to do something remarkable. Samuel was 8 years old. Do you really tell an 8 year old something like this? The thing about Samuel is his availability to God, even though he didn't have maturity yet, even though he didn't have skill yet, even though he didn't have what it took to completely understand it yet, even though he didn't even fully understand how to hear the voice of God yet. But even at 8 years old, He was available, more so than the prophet was. He was available to God, and God could share things with him. The person who is available to God, God will share things with them. God will reveal things to them. God will give them insight into things that most people wouldn't have insight into. Not because there's anything really amazing about that person per se, but just because they're available to God. God desires a friendship, and if we're available to that friendship, God will have a friendship with us. He wants us to have a relationship, and if we're available to that relationship, God will have a very rich relationship with us. God desires to do things for us and to take us to places we wouldn't even dream of going. If we're available, He'll take us there, if we trust Him to do that. But trust is a big factor in availability. If I'm afraid, then I won't be available, because I'll keep trying to protect myself. But if I trust, then I'm not afraid. And then I'll be available. We trust God because He loves us. We know He loves us because we're breathing. It's because of Him that we have that ability. He sustains that ability in us. If He decided to, we would stop breathing in an instant, and that would be the end of us. So we know we can trust Him just by virtue of being alive. Because if He didn't love us, we wouldn't be alive. So we know He loves us, and if He loves us, we can trust Him. And if we can trust Him, then we'll be available to Him. In Matthew 8:8, the centurion came and he needed his servant healed. His servant was like his own family. And his servant was deathly ill and he needed healing. And so this centurion comes to Jesus and he asks Him to heal his servant. Jesus said, okay, I'm going to go over and heal him. And the centurion says, Lord, I'm not worthy that You should come under my roof. Wow, what a statement is that? But only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. You see, that centurion didn't require Jesus to do anything exceptional to receive something exceptional from Him. He was just available in his trust. And he said, Lord, You don't have to go to my house. I'm available to believe You. And if You tell me it's so, then I know it's so. That's where availability comes from. So when I am available to God, it's just because I believe Him. And that's all it requires. I just believe Him. In 1 Samuel 15:19, Saul was given instructions by the prophet Samuel, and he didn't listen. And Samuel comes to him and says, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, which is Satan worship, which is also trafficking in demons. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry is trafficking in demons. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected you from being king. Now, Saul had this problem. He was a king, and he was about to go to war against a much more powerful nation. And he didn't trust God so that he would simply be available to obey him. When his obedience did not agree with what things looked like. Sometimes the way things appear will not be according to faith. Saul decided that he would make a burnt offering. Now, this is not the first time that Saul messed up. Saul was told to kill all of the animals of an enemy, to kill the enemy, to kill everybody who was there amongst the enemy, because they were exceptionally wicked. The level of demonic activity there was so powerful, there's no way that would not be destructive to everybody who came into contact with it. So Saul was told to kill the enemy, kill their king, kill everybody there, kill even their animals. Just kill it all. Why? Because even animals can be possessed by demons. And the demonic activity that was taking place in that area, God had to get rid of it to protect people. But Saul wouldn't listen. And then facing the Philistines, God gives him a definition, and Saul wouldn't listen. Saul wasn't available. Saul thought he had good reason. Well, the Philistines, God, and they're powerful, and Samuel said he'd be here, and he's not here. And what am I to do? My army is becoming afraid, and people are starting to leave, and I'm going to offer this burnt offering. And that's not how things were to be done with God. You see, he looked at the circumstance without trusting God. And that prevented him from being available to God. In the case of Agag, he looked at the circumstance, he looked at the wealth, he looked at the animals, he looked at things that seemed good to him, instead of trusting God. And therefore he was not available to obey God. When you walk by sight and not by faith, when you use your natural thinking rather than trusting God, you won't be available to God. But when you're not available to God, then God cannot take you anywhere in His calling for you. Saul was called to be a king, but he didn't go far in that call. He became the king, but he wasn't a good king because he was not available to God. When you're available to God, don't look for big or small. Just be available to Him all the time. Don't tell yourself, well, this is a big thing, this is a small thing, this is an important thing, this is not so important. This person, that person, what have you. Don't even let that into your thinking at all. It's all nonsense. It doesn't mean anything. In everything, just be available to Him. When you're available to God, the results for you are going to be amazing, both in time and then in eternity. The person who is available even in small things, when that person gets to heaven, after they received all the benefits of being available here on earth, they receive tremendous benefits for it. In heaven, they will receive benefits still, and it'll continue forever. That person, they're going to hear God say to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a little bit, and therefore you will reign over a lot." You're available to God even in a little bit, even in the small things. And then God can trust you with the big things. Don't ever say to yourself, "This is so small, it doesn't matter." It all matters. Everything. Operate in faith, be available to Him, and trust Him. Then you'll see things happen. Mary was available. she saw things happen. Moses was available. Abraham was available. Everyone who was available. David was available. The disciples who were around Jesus, they were available. Today, there's still people like that. They're available. And they see some pretty amazing things happen. And the people who are not available, God loves them, but He can't do much with them because they're not available. Learn to be available. It's going to make your life with God. Learn to be available. Amen?
If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Savior. I accept Your gift of mercy and what You have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with You now as You come into my heart and live.